John chapter 9. This is not an easy message. I wrote this about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and how ironic that God's timing is impeccable. Have you ever found that to be true? God's timing is impeccable. Friday, I had a funeral for Brenda Martin's father. Fred passed away, and it was kind of an interesting... I went to see him about a week before he passed away. They had asked if I could come and speak with Fred, and so I went by one day and just sat and talked with him, and he had some issues on his heart and his mind that he wanted to share, but he couldn't quite get it out. It's kind of one of those things. You could see in his eyes that he wanted to say something to me, and so I just sat there and patiently waited for him, and he said a few things, and then he just said, "Pastor, could we do the Lord's Prayer?" And I said, "Sure." So he grabbed my hand, and we said the Lord's Prayer together. Now, in my 36 years of doing this, and I've done, I can't even tell you how many funerals that I've done, I've never had anybody ask me to do that before. Big crocodile tears came down his face. And so we said the Lord's Prayer together. And when he got done, he just kind of sat back in his chair and just kind of took a deep breath. And I said, "How are you?" And he says, "I'm good now." And he just needed to make peace with the Lord. And so I had the privilege to be a part of that family on Friday down in Buena Park. I don't ever want to live in Buena Park. I left here at 7 o'clock, and it took me almost 2 hours to get there. And then we went from there to Rose Hills Cemetery. That place is gigantic. That's a gigantic. And then I left there at 12:35, and I got up to Verdugo Pines at 2:30. Thank the Lord that the 605 and the 210 were clear. But I don't ever want to live there. So if you're ever wondering if I'm ever going to move and live in Buena Park, the answer is no. Okay, I get upset when I pull off of Wright Mountain Road and I have to wait for three cars on Highway 2. I call my son and I say, "That's it, I'm moving." Traffic is crazy, you know what I'm saying? And then yesterday I had the privilege to be a part of Tom Brown. His wife Judy had passed away. Many of you know Judy. And so we had the service here yesterday, and I'm reminded every time, whenever I do a funeral service, I'm reminded of that life is short, life is precious, boy, it's precious, and that if I could just get across to young people to absorb every moment that you can, you know what I'm saying? Those of you that are over 30, am I talking to you? I mean, I'll see you're all shaking your head, those of you that are over 30. Because when you're 18, 19, and 20, my students at the college, they're invincible. You know what I'm saying? But they're dumber than a paint stick. So was I. You know what I mean? I got married at 20. I knew everything about life. And then I figured it out at about 23 that I wasn't very smart. And now that I'm 62, I'm really dumb. You know what I'm saying? That just kind of happens that way. But there are things that happen in life that are unexplainable. You just don't have a good answer. And I remember going through the book of Job with my class, and the conclusion of the book of Job is we don't really know what happened. We don't know why. Let me put it this way. Job doesn't know why what happened to him happened to him. We know because we have the first two chapters of the book of Job. We know that behind the scenes, God and Lucifer were doing this thing. We know that, but Job didn't know that. And throughout all of what happened to Job, he didn't know. He didn't know. But God was faithful to him at the end and blessed him tremendously, more than he'd ever had before. But the process of Job's life just didn't make sense to him. And sometimes the processes that we go through life don't make sense to us. John chapter 9 is a perfect passage. The first 12 verses is a perfect passage for this whole thing of, I don't get life. I don't get it. And we're not the first ones to do that. And so I want to share with you today these first 12 verses. And I'm going to ask a lot of questions in the passage I put together. You have some notes. But that doesn't mean I have the answers. Okay, I mean, ultimately, the ultimate answer is Jesus. That's easy. We can do that. But I want to spend some time with you today and maybe just cause us to reflect, all right? John chapter 9, verse 1. As Jesus went along, he saw a man, and he's with his disciples. He sees a man that's born blind from birth. His disciples asked him the proverbial question. Here it is. We've all asked this question. Rabbi, so who sinned? Who sinned? This man? Or is this the consequences of his parents that caused him to be born blind? Whose fault is it? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. Not saying they weren't sinners, but that's not the issue. But this happened, and here it is. Here's the tough part. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While we're in the world, while I'm in the world, he says, I am the light of the world. We had talked about that in chapter 4, 5. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and he put it on the man's eyes. And he says, now I want you to go down to the pool of Siloam, and I want you to wash your eyes out. The word Siloam or Shalom means sent. So he does. Goes down, washes the mud out, and lo and behold, the man can see. Verse 8. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same guy that used to sit around and beg from us all the time? Some claimed that it was. Others said, no, he only looks like the guy that still does that. How then were your eyes open, they demanded in verse 10. And he replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and I washed, and then I could see. They said, where is this guy? And he says, I don't know. I don't know where he is. I don't know. Questions. Ready? We believe that God is good, right? We believe that God is a good God, no matter what happens in our lives. God is good. You almost have to say yes, right? Because you can't make God out to be a bad God, right? He's a good God. Agreed? Anybody want to stop on that one for a while? Okay, so you got an A on that one. We believe that God cares about our every need, right? Every need. God cares about it. We have an understanding that God knows about our situations of life, right? There's no situation that I go through in this life that God doesn't understand, right? Do you always believe that? No. There's a lot of things in my life. I mean, I've probably told you my story too many times, but there's a lot of things in my life I don't get. I don't understand why my mom would leave at the age of 3. I don't understand why I went through the things I went through. I don't understand some funerals that I've done. There's a lot of things about life I don't understand. I just don't. I'm a very black and white person with a lot of grays that I don't understand. I'm very analytical. I should have been in the military. I iron my shirts during the week. Mama does them on Saturday night, so I look good for you. But other than that, I do them. You know what I'm saying? All my socks have to match. All the blacks are on one side, all the browns are the other, and the whites are in a different drawer, just in case I show up some Monday morning and I got a blue and a black one on. I can't do that. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I am. My shoes are all in order. If there's a brown, they're browns. The blacks are black. I'm just one of those kind of people. Are you one of those kind of people? All you that are smiling at me are one of those kind of people. I just, the way I am. You know what I'm saying? My wife is an incredible cook, and when she cooks, I clean. I can't stand a dirty kitchen. Am I the only guy? Someone help me here. Thank you. I feel like I'm the only guy right now. Am I the only weird one? No, Mark, you're weird too. Okay, I'll go with that. I like that. Okay, so I just how I am, but sometimes there's situations in my life I don't get. I just don't get. And that frustrates me. We know, right, that there is pain and suffering in our world. We know that, right? Yeah, we know that. And we know that we don't always know why things happen to us or those around us, right? We don't always know why. Why does something bad happen to a good person? Why aren't the knuckleheads the ones that the bad things happen to? Why? Right? I mean, we could line up all kinds of knuckleheads. Is that okay? Is that a PC term? Can I use that term still? Knucklehead? Okay. All right. I'm sorry if that offends you, but I can't think of the right word right now. So I don't always know why things happen to us, but it does. And it happens to people that we love dearly. Notice in verse 2 of our passage says, his disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And I wrote this, have you ever asked this question? Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? I have some family members in my family that blame my parents for their problems. I hope you haven't done that. I mean, your mom and dad aren't perfect. My dad for sure wasn't perfect, but that doesn't mean that I can choose to live like my father did once upon a time, right? I mean, I have to make my own choices, right? I mean, so to go through life and say, I'm going to make all these horrible choices, I'm going to blame it on my parents, it's time you grow up. Did I say that out loud? Right? I mean, come on. It's time we be an adult, as my son used to say. It's time we be adults. I mean, I'm sorry for the things that happened to you. I'm sorry for the things that happened to me, but somewhere along the line, you got to make a choice, yes? Say it's time that I live the life that God wants me to live. And, but we will do that. And so they're asking the proverbial questions. Whose fault is it? They wanted to know whom to blame. Who do I blame? See, life doesn't make sense at times. It just doesn't. And when it doesn't make sense, I want to blame somebody for my confusion. And so when it's hard and it's ugly, we want to blame someone. My life is hard right now. Whose fault is that? I don't know why this person has this disease. So whose fault is it? I don't know why I lost my job, but it's got to be somebody else's fault. Who can I blame here? And we do that all the time. Because sometimes it's too difficult for us to be honest with the reality of it's just life. Or it's my fault. Sometimes it's my fault. We don't like that. So we ask the question, who do we blame? All right. Ready? Did sin cause death? Adam and Eve are in the garden. Things are going great. It's wonderful. Man, I mean, they're eating all kinds of good stuff. And God says, now see that tree over there? Yeah, don't eat from that tree. Because the day that you eat from that tree, you're going to die. And they ate from the tree, but they still lived, didn't they? For a while. Exactly. And so I asked the honest question. Did sin cause death? Yes. Yes, it did, right? Next question, ready? Did sin cause suffering? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, so God was right. If you do this, there's going to be a consequence, and it's going to cause death, right? We know that, right? Okay. So here it is then. You ready? So sin is the reason for all of suffering and pain, right? Oh, you don't like that one, do you? You don't like that one. See, we believe that we're born sinners, right? You see, now I'm meddling, huh?
Yeah.
So there are some people who are convinced, no, we're not born sinners. We're taught to sin. Apparently, you haven't had a two-year-old. All right? Because I know that I didn't teach my two-year-olds to do what they did, right? And I surely didn't teach my grandkids who were once two to do what they're doing. It's in their very nature, right? Agreed. Okay. So, interesting, in John chapter 9, verse 34 says, they're all mad about something. And then this, they replied, that, of course, it's the blind guy they're talking to, and they don't, who can see now. And they say, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? So it was taught that we were born sinners. It's been taught throughout Scripture. And we know that, right? We know that. We're born sinners. See, they believed, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and everybody around, they believed his blindness was because he was a sinner or his parents had sinned, and the sin caused his blindness. It's just that simple. That's like saying, the reason why you're not being healed of whatever is because you don't have enough faith. Excuse me? I have a lot of faith. I have a lot of faith. I wish I had the gift of healing. You know where I would go? All the hospitals. First wing, children's department. Man, I'm telling you, I'd be touching every one of them if I had the gift of healing. I wouldn't be having big crusades, thousands of people paying so much bucks a head and having them come up on the altar. I just wouldn't do it. I'd be heading to the hospitals. You? Absolutely. Convalescent homes? Absolutely. Absolutely. So, since they believed his blindness was because he was a sinner or his parents had sinned and that had caused his blindness, that makes sense, right? But what if that isn't the case? What if that isn't the case? What if we go through pain and suffering so that the work of God might be displayed in our lives? What if it has nothing to do with your sin or your parents' sin? What if? What if God is sending you through this thing called life right now just so he could show his glory through you? How many would sign up for that? That'd be a hard one, wouldn't it? That'd be a hard one. What if your suffering is so that God could have a chance to work in your life? What if your suffering is so that God could display his compassion in your life? What if your suffering was so that God could show forth his power in your life? Wow. What if your suffering was so that God could demonstrate that he cares? Really? You see how backwards this is? God, I don't want you to care about me. I don't want you to have compassion on me. I want you to forgive me. That's what I want. God, I want you to heal me. That's what I want. What if your suffering was so that God could expose his glory in your life? Would you be willing to let God do that? That's different, isn't it? That's hard. And what if your suffering was so that God could lead others to a relationship with him through you? Wow. I think some of the greatest witnessing I've ever seen is people in a hospital who aren't doing well. And there's someone always worse off than you, isn't there? Always. And somehow, God puts that person in your room and says, say something. Say something. Hi, how are you doing? I'm not doing well. Neither am I, but I want to tell you something. God is faithful to us, even in our darkest moments. Do you know God? Do you have the hope of eternal life? Can you imagine that God would actually line up everything in your life for that one moment so that you could be in a hospital bed, share Jesus with someone, and see that person come to a saving knowledge? And that's what that was all about? Can you imagine that God would really do that? What if your suffering was so that you could trust Him? So that you could demonstrate your belief in His power over your life? What if your suffering was so that you would better learn about who He is? You mean in my suffering I get to learn more about God? Yeah. What if in your suffering you have the opportunity to see what God can do for you in your life? What if that's what suffering was about? See, this isn't easy, is it? You're all looking at me. This is not easy. When I wrote this, I thought, God, this isn't easy. Because I want to blame someone for why I'm suffering. I want an answer to why I'm going through this stuff. And sometimes I don't get it, but sometimes I just have to say, maybe it's just all about you. And it's not about me. And maybe God's going to let me go through suffering so that He can show forth His greatness and His power and His authority in my life and the life of people around me. Maybe that's what God's going to do. And I don't always like that. Especially when it's for a loved one that I love dearly. I don't like that. See, I think it comes down to this. I think it comes down to what our worldview is. What is your worldview? How do you see God? How do you see God? What do you believe that He is? What do you believe that God is? Do you believe that God is sovereign over every aspect of life? Do you believe that God is sovereign over your life? Do you believe that God can do whatever He pleases with you? Do you believe that God could actually use you to show forth His glory and it has nothing to do with me? Do I absolutely believe that? That in any moment of any day, God says, I'm going to use you, Terry, to show forth my glory and it has nothing to do with you. Do I believe that? See, I don't like that because I don't want God to use me. Who does He think He is that He can use me to show forth His glory? He did not ask for my permission. I'm not so sure I want God to ask for my permission because what if I tell Him no? You ever had your child do that? Ask you for something, you say, no, you can't do that. Isn't it wonderful when they say, okay, Dad, no problem. I just thought I'd ask. Love you too, Mom. Just thought I'd ask, you know. Really? Doesn't that just really tick you off more? Yeah. Terry, you got a minute? Yeah, I'm thinking about using you to show forth my glory. Yeah, I'm going to send you through some really tough times. Hang in there, baby. We're going to make it. But at the end, I'm going to show my power in your life, and someone's going to come to know me. Are you ready for the ride? Are you out of your mind, God? Can you pick somebody else? How about Kevin? Yeah. See, sometimes things happen and we just don't know why, but God always does. Okay, I have a weird passage I want to read to you. Luke chapter 13. If you have your Bible, I don't know if you, are you going to have it up on the screen? I hope so. By the way, side note, Ben, I don't need to point you out, but there was a hymn that we played yesterday at the funeral, How Great Thou Art. Is it still up on the computer? Would you do me a favor, buddy? Would you make sure that's ready? I want to close with that hymn today. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you. Didn't mean to point you out, but this is Ben Minnick. He's a wonderful kid. You're all right, buddy. Thank you, because I don't know that Ken knows it, okay? Luke 13, you ready? Watch this. I had to read this about 20,000 times before I got it. Luke 13, 1 through 9. Is it up on the screen? Okay, here we go. We're going to try it. If you're not, it's in your Bible. You know what a Bible is, right? Okay. It's right after Malachi, which it is. Okay, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 13, 1 through 9. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. What had happened is there was a battle that took place, and there was sacrifices going on, and Pilate didn't care, and he just killed them anyway, and you're not supposed to do that. And Jesus answered, do you think, here it is, when that happened to them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? Because they were killed, they must have been bad. Because I'm a Galilean and I didn't get killed in that, so I must be good. Get it? So these were bad people. So when something happens to a bad person, do you ever say, yeah, I know why? Because they don't love Jesus like I do. Huh? We don't get hurricanes here. We don't get tornadoes here. You know why? Because in Southern California, we're better than those people in North Carolina. If they would just get right with Jesus, like we're right with Jesus, oh yeah, you wait. Hang on, California. It's coming, baby. Yeah? When I read my Old Testament and I see how God says, if you will follow me and turn towards me, I will bless your crops and I will multiply the things that you can do, and I wonder why the state of California is drying up. Just a thought. Verse 3, I tell you, no, unless you repent, you too are all, you're going to perish. So the point is, get right with Jesus. Verse 4. Or those 18, now here's a story we don't know much about, or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others live in Jerusalem? Well, it's just what happens. They must have been sinners and God let them have it. But see, it didn't happen to me, so I must be a good person. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told this parable. Here it is. A man had a fig tree. And it was growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find any. So he said to the man who was taking care of his vineyard, you know what, for the last 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. By the way, it takes about 3 to 4 years to get a good fig off a fig tree. Okay, but this guy's impatient. I didn't find any. He said, I want you to cut that thing down. Why should we waste the soil? Get rid of the dumb thing. It's not producing what I want from it. And sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year and I'm going to dig around. I'm going to fertilize it. If it doesn't bear fruit next year, fine. If not, then I'm going to cut it down. And I looked at that and said, what is all that about? Sometimes we expect things in life that just doesn't happen. And we get impatient. And we want something to happen. Sometimes it just doesn't. But other times things happen, we don't know why. I don't get it. People, there are sometimes things that happen in life that we don't understand. And sometimes you have an expectation of something that's supposed to happen and it doesn't. Whose fault is it? Nobody's fault. It's life. It's life. We just have to learn to trust that God knows what he's doing. And he knows what he's doing in his time. And when it's his time to do what he's going to do, he might just use you and me to show forth his power and his glory. And it might not go the way you think it's going to go. And you might have it all planned out. And you might have fertilized that crazy fig tree for 3 years thinking, I'm going to get figs out of this thing and they don't produce figs. And you're going to be madder than a hornet at God that you made these wonderful plans for your life. And you're saying to God, I don't get it. Why isn't it? I planned on in August I was going to do such and such. And you said it was going to happen. And God says, I didn't say nothing. I want you to wait one more year. One more year? Are you kidding me? What kind of a God are you that makes me wait? Now, I'm not preaching to anybody, but you, I'm only preaching to me, right? None of you, this isn't, doesn't apply to any of you guys, right? Because you're all patient. I'm not. I might as well admit it, you know. See, I don't need a counselor. You all need a counselor because I confess all my stuff to you every week. I feel great when I go home. I feel wonderful. It's all you guys that bought all this junk up, and it's killing you. Yeah. Sometimes we can't explain things, and sometimes there is a reason, but we won't always know what it is. Yeah. Verse 4 and 5 says this, as long as it is day, Jesus said, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work, and while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. So what he's saying is don't get caught up in the argument that life isn't fair and God isn't fair. You and I don't want God to be fair. Trust me. God, that's not fair. You know you're right. You're right. So we're going to be a socialistic Christian world. Everybody's going to get the same thing all at the same time. No, that's not quite what I meant. That's not what I meant. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we got to be careful. Instead, we need to take these situations and we need to do good by them. Whatever's going on in your life right now, let God use it for good. Don't let your circumstances steal your ability to do good for God. Can I say it one more time? Ready? Don't let your circumstances steal your ability to do something good for God. Don't get so mad at life that life shuts you down. Don't let the sin of your past or your parents' sins of the past stop you from loving and serving Jesus. Don't let it happen. Don't let your unknowns stop you from doing what is known. I don't know why this is happening to me, but I do know this: God is faithful. I don't know why I just found out I have cancer, but I know that God is faithful. I don't know why I just got the notice that I lost my job, but God is faithful. I don't know why my child just called and said, Dad, but I know that God is faithful. And I'm not going to let the circumstances of life change that. Because my worldview of God is that He is God and I am not. I'm not God. I don't want to be God. I don't want that responsibility. I don't want to hear all your prayers. I'm not interested. I just want him to hear mine. After saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the slave. He says, go and do your thing. And he comes back and he's open. And they ask him, is this the same guy? And they claim, yeah, this is, no, it looks like. He says, no, I'm the guy. And they said, how then are your eyes open? And they asked him, he says, well, the man called Jesus made mud, put on my eyes, and I went and washed, and now I can see. And they said, well, where is this guy? He said, I don't know. See, Jesus took what seemed to be bad and did something amazing with it. You see, none of us can fully understand how God works. I don't get him. And I would not want to presume that I have an answer for every situation in life. I just don't. I just don't. Sometimes I go to the hospital and I'll visit somebody and I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. And I'm looking at this individual and they're going through a difficult time in life and I'm staring at them and they're staring at me and it's like, I don't know what to say. Are you okay? Well, of course they're not okay. Are you fine? Of course they're not fine. You know, I've been taught never ask, well, what's wrong? Don't ever ask that. because you don't want to know, because they may tell you. I mean, I was distinctly told, when you go and visit a woman in a hospital, don't ask what's wrong. You don't want to know. Okay, so then that limits a lot of questions. Hi. Have you eaten? No, I throw up when I eat. Let's pray. Do you feel that way? Do you sometimes don't know what to say? I'm no different than you. I just happen to be the right Reverend Holy Highness, and I'm supposed to have things to say, and I don't know what to say. So I stand there, and I tell them that the Lord loves them, and that He's faithful. And I don't know why you're going through what you're going through. But I believe in God's faithfulness. And I believe that whatever He has for your life is going to be for your good. I believe that. And if I could change your circumstances, I would. Trust me, I would. But I can't. But there are some things I think that we can acknowledge. Not everything that happens to us is a result of our sin or those around us. I believe that. God wants to do good even in bad situations. We can be a part of God's plan if we remember that He's sovereign. And though you and I may never understand life this side of glory, God is always there to comfort us in our time of need. Sometimes we just have to stop and say, Lord, my soul right now is crying for You and Your presence in my life, and I just need to know that things are going to be okay. And Fred that day just needed to say the Lord's Prayer. He just needed to know that things were well between him and God. And he did need a big, long explanation of the almighty power of God. He just needed to know that things were well. And sometimes it comes down to that, doesn't it? About 2 years ago, we had a funeral here, and probably only about a year ago now. I keep thinking this. So we've had so many, huh, Cliff? We've had an incredible amount of funerals. And there's an old hymn called It Is Well With My Soul. It's one of my favorites. But there's a group of men that sing it, and we found it on the internet. And since then, almost every funeral that we've had here at Hillside, we've played this song. Some of you that are my age will recognize, you know it. And it stirs in us an emotion that will never go away. Those of you that are younger and you haven't experienced this hymn, I want you to experience this. And the reason why I asked the worship team not to close in a song, but to let me play this one to you, because I just feel in my heart that there's someone in this audience today that needs to hear this song and just know that it can be well with your soul when you recognize God's sovereignty. And that no matter what you're going through today, He's faithful. He's faithful. So before we play this hymn, as you know, our men are going to come forward, and it's our time of giving of our love gifts to the Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, but I want to pray for us, and then I want you to hear this incredible hymn. And I'm praying that God's going to use it to minister to your life, as it did yesterday, and as it has done for a lot of years. Father God, I thank You for this message today that You gave me. And though we didn't get a whole lot of answers, we come back to this simple truth that you are a sovereign God who's faithful to us in our lives. And that you have the right to use us for your praise and for your glory. And sometimes we forget that. But I ask God now as we listen to this great hymn that it might minister to our hearts. And if there's someone in this audience today that just needs to be reassured that you are God and you are faithful, and they just needed to be well with their soul, I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God would minister to their lives. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people as they are so good at allowing us to do what God's called us to do here at this church. Bless these love gifts, I pray now. In Jesus' name, amen.